It is a true fact that God is doing something that is outstanding. I guess one of the most beautiful things to me in Christianity is the sovereignty of Christianity. You know, a lot of people, they feel if they've got to conform to anything, that they're in a prison. And that there is no sovereignty to it. If they've got to conform to anything, be under anybody, listen to anybody, do anything anybody says, have any oversight, then they are in a prison. And consequently, they're not going to do it. So consequently, they're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. But nevertheless, they feel like it's a prison. There's laws in the land that some people feel like if they have to conform to, that they're in a prison. You have a law, and around the corner it's 50 miles an hour, and some young fellow comes by and he wants to spin his wheel, and he figures he can take it at 70. And if you don't let him take it at 70, he feels like you've took his sovereignty away from him, and he's in a prison. But a few times at 70, you might make it all right. But see, when they set that law and they gauged that condition, it might have been on a rainy day to save your life that at 70 you might skid off of the mountainside. And you go ahead and push over it, and after a while, you go off the mountainside. And you'll find out that that wasn't a bondage at all. That was a liberty and a protection that they had set for your safety and little family. And that what you have to do is to conform to that. And that's what God's trying to get us to do, children of God. He wants us to conform to the Word. This is not a bondage. This is a privilege. This is a protection. This is life. It's the only means of life. Some laws are the only means of keeping a boy out of prison and keeping him out of the electric chair. Some laws are life to him. And these are the laws of life. To conform to these is to order our steps aright and to escape death, sorrow, and heartaches. To be a brotherhood in the multitude of counsel, their safety. To love one another. The Brother Branham following, I'm not against him. I'm not against the Baptist people. I'm not against the Methodist people. I am against the system, the ecclesiastical system that the Baptists have fell into, the Pentecostals have fallen into, Brother Branham's followers have fallen into. I'm against that system because it isn't God. It wasn't what the men taught that laid the foundation for those great moves of God. It's an ecclesiastical thing that's got into a money enterprise. And the people have become praise of that thing. Same way with Brother Branham's following. It's become the same way. They have fallen into a system that neither Brother Branham nor God set. They're falling after knowledge. Knowledge. Always knowledge. Taking out all the inspiration, the praises of God, the singing and rejoicing, and bringing it down to where it's dead. You can't hardly say amen in some of the assemblies. Taking the Bible away, replacing it with books. I've been into the assemblies where they wouldn't even use a Bible. They just bring a book. And that wasn't what Brother Branham taught. He taught to stay with the Word. Amen. And not to follow after knowledge. He didn't follow after knowledge. He followed after the Spirit and revelation of God. I believe in the knowledge of God. As far as the knowledge of God, I believe in the knowledge of God. And I follow after it hard. Study, Paul said, to show thyself approved. A workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Stay with it night and day to love it and read it. Just eat the word of God. But not to get knowledge. For knowledge puffeth up. You can make it a dead intellectual letter and think you know something and not have the revelation of it and not know anything. So what we've got to do is stay away from those things and follow after the Holy Spirit, after charity that edifieth and the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we want because Paul the Apostle was a revelator. And this church of the Gentiles is founded upon revelation. You see where knowledge took the Jews to. It only brought the judgments of God. So it takes the Spirit to give life and to bring us the liberties and blessings of God. That Spirit dwells in one body. That body has many members. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And though we take the outlook a lot of times, we say, well, Jesus is the head of it. I believe in the body. I believe in the membership, but he's the head. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But that's wrong. That's wrong, see, because there is people to tell you what to do. It's like those laws. There are different phases of operation in the gospel, different callings, different means of anointing, the same Spirit, different operations, and there are different offices. And one hath one measure, one hath another measure, and another hath another measure. And like I've said so often, that in the army, you see a captain, you see a general, you see a sergeant, you see ranks, all one great army. One might be in Europe, one might be, another part might be over here in, Asia, another part might be in Central America, but they all are under one command. That's the president, and or the king, whoever is at the top of that army. But see, they are under sub-commands that leads up to the chief command. For when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear, there, as I've said before, there is a king. There is a king. There is a number of kings. This I try to substantiate a lot of times, or place it in your mind and really substantiate it after I place it there to where it won't bobble about. There are kings, and there are numbers of kings. In the Bible, we're told that the 24 elders were kings there that sit upon the round the throne and upon the thrones, and that they cast their crowns down at the feet of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. They were lords. But they were not Lord of Lords. They were lords. They were kings. And then the Bible teaches concerning the 12 apostolic leaders. They said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. He said, what are we going to have? He said, when I sit upon my throne in the regeneration and in the kingdom of God, he said, you'll sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 great kings. There's more kings. And then there'll be more kings outside of that. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, God hath made us priests and kings unto our God. There'll be more kings over providences. And he said, be thy ruler over 50. Be thy ruler over 100. And there'll be more kings and more leaders. And all of those kings, there'll be subjects under those kings. And then the body of that great command of God, the Bible teaches that those kings will come into the city of God with a regularity, and they will cast their crowns down at the feet of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. See, how can he be a King of Kings if there's no kings for him to rule over? He's got to be a King of Kings. He's got to be a Lord of Lords. So then Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. When we see the army, the command, and all these natural things, God has used those for our education. He is educating our intellectual reasoning that we might turn it into spiritual understanding down here and come out with a spiritual application. All right, let's read just a little bit. I have favored for a long time the book of Revelation, and I have tried to expound a little bit concerning the things in the book of Revelation. And one of the things that I have tried to emphasize in talking to you about the book of Revelation is the scripture where it says, now is come power. I've read this quite a number of times because I've been trying to get something over to my audience. You've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation concerning the woman with her feet on the moon. Now, we've taught on this numbers of times since we've been here, and quite a number of times as of late, trying to get over something concerning what is said here. In this chapter, we'll read together if you've got your Bibles. Maybe we can elaborate a little on it, maybe from a teaching standpoint. Let's just read a little together. Chapter 11, or 12, the book of Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth the man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, now, I'd like to take just a minute or two right here and talk with you, if you don't mind. I'm going to back up here to the board just a little bit and talk with you. Now, Brother Taylor has erased the one side of the board. Maybe we still have something on the other side we can work from. Might have to turn the board around here, Brother Taylor. As most of you know, we've been dealing with the light and with the colors of the rainbow and the significance of these things. And we erased some of the board that we had used to work from. So we'll have to turn it around a little and see if maybe we can work it out on this side. This is not really the side that we need for it. It would have been better if they'd erased this side than the other side. We had the other side drawn out in 3-dimensional steps, whereas we had one here which represented heaven, and one here which represented the realm of Satan, and then the next one down here that represented earth. So there's still 3 parts here. Maybe we can use a reference to give your mind some continuity of thought. But it'd been better if we'd had the other part of the board, since you was familiar with it. But at any rate, let's just review this just a little bit as I talk with you. Now, remember, and let me say this again, this isn't going to do too good on TV because the board is not for it. If I'd have known this, I'd have just left it down there. But for the audience, it'll be good because most of you are familiar with the drawings on the board. All right, now, don't forget that in reading the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we're dealing with what Daniel saw. Now, we've read this a number of times, and we brought it back to your mind that what Daniel saw is the same thing in many ways that John saw. But we pointed out that reading over there in the book of Daniel, in the last part of it, that when the angel of God spoke to Daniel, he said to Daniel, "Seal it up, Daniel, or you'll rest in your lot sealed it up because it wasn't time right then for the thing to be used. And then when God comes to John, it is altogether different. He speaks differently to John. He says, John, seal not the book, for the time is at hand. Daniel's day, the time wasn't at hand. So then the book become a sealed book. And it's obvious that it remains sealed until the coming of John. Now this is something great right here if we can get a hold of it. If we can fathom the things that I'm saying here and understand what I'm saying, it will be one of the greatest treasures that you'll ever have. You know, Paul speaks of heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. It'll be one of the greatest treasures that you ever added to your earthly vessel. Now, these treasures are wonderful. It's the knowledge of God, the revelation of Christ. And after a while, you're going to be exceedingly rich. When God rolls back the curtains of time, everything changes and you stand on the avenues of glory. According to your money in the bank, heavenly money in God's bank, that's what's going to determine how rich you are. So then get all of these rubies and jewels and treasures that you can and put them into your vessel. Because this is the mind of the Lord Jesus. It comes through the ministry that is not them speaking, but God speaking through them. And it is for the perfecting of the faith of the saints of God, because it takes perfect faith to get into the kingdom of God, and it takes the perfect mind of Christ to be able to have the perfect faith. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. And so then in working with you, in trying to share these heavenly treasures with you, then I ask you to try to consider very diligently the things that we've said. The Bible said to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And then it tells us to take heed how that we hear, lest we get them all scrambled up. And we say, Brother Pike said such and such when he didn't say it. Or the minister said such and such when he didn't say that. Take heed how that you hear, lest Satan pervert your thinking. And take heed how you fellowship, lest somebody talk to you and pervert you and get you to bid them Godspeed. Or get you to agree with them and find yourself fighting against the glories and the goodness of God. Be bold as a lion. Be harmless as a dove. Be wise as a serpent. All right, so then we see these great, marvelous things as God speaks to Daniel concerning them, but they're not revealed. And then we see them in the book of Revelation. I use the term the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation is the only place they are unveiled. There is no other thing that can unveil or unlock the seals. And we'll take advantage of what we've got here on the board. To unlock these seals, there is no way to unlock these seals except through the book of Revelation. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the unveiling of the seals, and there is no other unveiling. Nowhere in the Bible is it found until you come to John's writing where it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servant the things which surely must come to pass. So then there is no loosening of those seals. There is no unveiling of those seals. There is nothing that can be known concerning those seals until you get into the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is where it is at. That's why that we so many times emphasize some of the things concerning the thunders. That's why that we emphasize the part where the angel of Revelation 10 is speaking. Because there is no way to get into God's kingdom except by divine translation. You can't get in there any other way. You might join the best church in the nation. You might have the best pastor in the nation. You may have everything that heart can wish for. But friend, there's one thing for sure. If God does not translate you into the kingdom of God, you are not in the kingdom of God. Now, I know the regular trend, the usual trend of life is we're going to wait till Thessalonians change takes place in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be raptured out and we're going to go to meet God. But you know that they have misunderstood and misconstrued that it doesn't mean that at all in the way that they're teaching. So then there has to be something somewhere that belongs to the bride of Christ and belongs to us, else none of us will be able to get out of here. All right, so then we see that in the revelation of the Lord Jesus, and I'll talk to you just a few minutes to collect your thoughts here in your minds. In the revelation of the Lord Jesus, we see the hidden mysteries of God. They are in the revelation of the Lord Jesus. God has placed them abundantly and above all that we can ask or even think. I'm not smart enough to think it. There's no need of me asking it. It's too high. I can't think it. I can't reach it. I can pray. I can fast. But I still can't reach it. All of the fasting of the Jews, they couldn't reach it. All of the study of the great Bible scholars, still they missed it when Jesus came. See, you can't obtain unto it. It's too great. God's thoughts are higher above our thoughts, and the heavens are the earth. There is absolutely no way you can obtain unto it. Joining the church won't do it. It's got to be by divine revelation. God is so set it in a place to where no man can reach it, that he might have the super preeminence over all humanity and over all eternity. So then we can't learn it. We can't get to it. But the Bible said, though eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, yet he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That is to say, he hath made them a revelation. There we have a revelation from God. God has given us a revelation. He hath revealed it unto us by his great Spirit. So then through his graciousness, his kindness, we understand. See, the Bible said God giveth more grace to the humble. We can exalt ourselves, we can raise ourselves up, make ourselves some great person, but the Bible said God giveth more grace to the humble. It's when we get humble down before God, humble our heart, and get down before God that we get something from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only time. It's when we realize that we're nothing and he's everything. And then when we turn to him in that way, then the Holy Spirit comes close to us. And then we begin to feed. And our minds begin to see the glories of God. So then there's no way to obtain unto it. It has to be a revelation. He has to give it to us. He has to endow us with it. Pass it on down to us, because he alone is heir to the glories of God. Nobody else is heir. I said this a lot of times, and I know that some of you, you kind of wonder when I say this, but you remember what I always say about the days of Noah, 8 being saved, a turn of event, then come down to Sodom and Gomorrah. When you get down there wasn't but just half that many saved that come out of that. And then you come on down a little further, get down to the wilderness, and God cuts them off, and it's not even 4 anymore. 8, then he cuts it to 4. The next thing you know, there's nobody but Caleb and Joshua, cuts it down to 2. So then we started with 8, now we've done got cut down to 2. And then when we get over a little farther, then we find at Calvary it's cut down to 1. Ain't nobody made it but Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody made it but Jesus. God cut it down from 8 to 4, from 4 to 2, from 2 to 1, and Jesus alone is heir to the glory of God. And unless we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as membership of that body, we didn't make it, because he alone made it. Nobody else made it. All right, it was Noah. It was because of Noah that his family got on that ark. How do you believe that? The Bible didn't say that Noah's family found favor in the sight of God, did it? It said Noah found favor in the sight of God, and it was because of Noah that his family got on the big boat. Is that right? That's the way it is with God. It isn't that Brother Pike has found favor in the sight of God. It isn't that you found favor in the sight of God. But Jesus found favor in the sight of God, and I got on the boat because he found favor in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And I am so glad, because the Bible said, if he had not left us a seed, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. So then God left us a seed, and I'm glad that he left us a seed. All right, so then it's a great privilege this morning to understand and to know what the Lord is doing, to be able to give Him the glory and the praise and the honor and all of the magnificence, you know, goes to God. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. He is the one to be praised. He is the one to be honored. He is the one to be lifted up. When they said glory and honor and power and majesty all belong to Thee, O Lord. So then we see that this is the privilege. I am a son of God. I am a prince. I am a king. I am a son of God. I am bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Not only of a king, but of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. That I have loved you. And this is what we're looking forward to. We think, well, we know the Lord is coming back. I know the Lord is coming back. You know the Lord is coming back. And we know that Thessalonians change. It tells us that He's going to descend with a shout, with the trump of God. But now, what are we going to do with the scripture where the Bible said that God shall suddenly appear within His saints to be glorified in His saints? What are we going to do with that? When we say clouds of heaven, we know that He's coming in the clouds of heaven. Every natural thing has to do with something spiritual. But where is the spiritual counterpart of it? If He's coming in the clouds of heaven, what about the spiritual clouds where Paul spoke of the great cloud of witnesses that God was to appear in their midst? See, there is something that the church world is missing, but the bride isn't going to miss it. Now the church world has to look for a natural rapture in a natural coming of Jesus with natural expectation. Isn't that right? But we are spiritual people. We have a spiritual inside. We are those that dwell in heaven. We are not looking for a natural thing. We are a spiritual Jew that's looking for a spiritual Christ in a spiritual cloud of heaven with a spiritual power and a spiritual kingdom. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. That's what Jesus said when the Jews came over there. Said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He just evaded them. Now look at it. He just evaded them. He just sidestepped them. Why did He do that? Because Jesus had to die. And Jesus is the head of the king or the kingdom of Israel. Isn't that right? The Jesus never did even answer him back. Did you notice that? It wasn't the Jesus that answered him back. That wasn't it. It was Christ that answered him back. When He said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. See, it wasn't Jesus. It was the Christ. When they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Why, the Jesus just stepped aside and the voice of the Father, the Christ, said, my kingdom's not of this world. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. But He said, it's within a man. It's within a man. See, it's on the inside. The kingdom of God said, friend, you don't have eyes to see. Pray that God will give you eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And so then there, Jesus changed it over. In other words, He was just saying to you and I, He was saying, it's Calvary. It's time for Calvary. It's time for the change now. You Jews have been in power and you've had this thing for thousands of years. But now it's time for a change. From here on out, it's going to be my kingdom. It's going to be my kingdom. Isn't that right? It's going to be my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. I am not of this world. God has chosen me out of this world. And He's hid me with Christ and God whom the heavens have received until the time of restitution of all things. I have been translated, the Bible tells me, into the marvelous kingdom of my God. I am today in the kingdom of God, and I contend that I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting to go into the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting to be translated into the kingdom of God. I am in the kingdom of God. I've already made it into the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of will I make it, can I make it, or hoping to make it. I made it into the kingdom of God. I overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony this morning. Yesterday and the day before, hallelujah. So today, I am in the kingdom of God today. That's all right. Hallelujah. If you believe it, you can act like that too. Praise God. Today, we are in the kingdom of the living God. Today, I am enjoying the presence and fellowship of God's dear Son. I have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God.
That is why the Bible uses the terms like this. They will come from the east. They will come from the west. And they will sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean? The children of the kingdom. And God said the children of the kingdom are the Jewish people. It's those that was under the regime of David. Those that will come up just like they did that to Jesus and see the kingdom of God coming in power. You say, but Brother Pike, they didn't see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, just a few days hence and you'll see the kingdom of God coming in power. Hallelujah. And now they stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw the powers of God and the celestial regime of Christ there before their very eyes. When he turned to them and he said, they're going to come from the east and west. Those Jews stood there and God cut them off and cast them out of the kingdom. He said, and I'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And they've been at the wailing walls ever since. They've been through the dark ages. They've been killed, been trampled upon. And there they stood looking at this thing. And the Bible said they came from the east and came from the west. And God translated them into the marvelous kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And they had to stand there. The children of the kingdom had to stand there and see you and I and thousands of others press their way into the kingdom of God and be translated into it. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom isn't preached. Jesus said, go preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Not far away, it's right here. Tell men to repent, receive you the kingdom. It's an inheritance. We receive it, it's on the inside of us. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Nicodemus standing there, and there's Nicodemus stood, a great scholar, a great man. And Jesus talking to him, and Jesus literally confounded him. Though he was a great and a mighty man, he asked the Lord certain questions. And Jesus said, are you a teacher? Are you a great leader of Israel and you don't understand these things? And he said, as he waxed bold, now a man standing there just like I'm a man. But he stood there and he waxed bold and he said, no man's ever ascended up into heaven but the Son of Man that came down from heaven, who is in heaven, he said. Hallelujah. No man's ever went up there. Hallelujah. Except he that came down from there. And there he stood. He said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Nicodemus standing there looking at him, and Nicodemus didn't even know what to do. Here's a man that's standing in his presence, a fleshly man, and he makes a declaration that he is in heaven. And he couldn't get a hold of it. Nicodemus couldn't get a hold of it. It was more than he could get. He just couldn't take hold of it. But we know what he was saying, don't we, children of God? We know because we are the children of the kingdom. The Bible said, he that dwelleth in heaven, let him rejoice. Hallelujah. For the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. They that accuse, or he that accused them before their God day and night, he has been cast out. Let them that dwell in heaven rejoice. Let them rejoice. Ye that dwell in heaven, ye that are sitting together in heavenly places, ye that dwell in heaven, ye that dwell in heaven, let them rejoice that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said rejoice. Hallelujah. Let them rejoice that dwell in heaven. I dwell in heaven this morning. Let them rejoice. Hallelujah. For the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. They that accuse are he that accuses them before God day and night. All right, now I said that to say this. This is why that we have the problem that we do. The misunderstanding is because there's a natural church world out there. There is a physical church world out there. And there is a spiritual church world out there. And they're all mixed up. And one is teaching sonship. And one is teaching the bride. And one is teaching the church. And they're all mixed up. They're just all mixed up. But see, it is so beautiful in the mind of Christ. There is no confusion in the mind of Jesus. It is so lovely, hallelujah, to feel his presence and to know the Spirit of God is among us and with us in what we're doing, hallelujah. That's why that you don't fuss when people assail you, when people do things and people come against you. You don't fuss, you don't feud, you don't say anything to them. You just go on your way rejoicing because we know that we pass from death unto life. Not that we're going to pass from death unto life. Friend, I pass from death unto life. I know that I pass from death unto life. How do you know that, Brother Pike? Because love is as strong as death. And I love the brethren. I pass from death unto life. I stand here today. I have passed from death unto life. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Amen. You say, I can't receive that. Well, he that can receive it, let him receive it. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Hallelujah. All right. So then Nicodemus didn't understand, but Jesus understood. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. And while they fuss and while they fight and split theological hair, as we say, over subjects, we go right on with Jesus, following the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's just examine it for just a few minutes. Not hold you long, but just examine it for just a few minutes and see what it's worth to us. Look at it now. Here we are. If there's three parts, I've been over this quite a number of times, but I want to substantiate what I'm preaching. Yeah, I want to, as Brother Branham said, when you put a board up, you got to put enough nails in so the wind don't blow it off. I want to nail it down fast, steadfast, to where it won't come off. I have people, they still come to me and they say, Brother Pike, what about this? And what about that? And what was it you said? I didn't understand that. So then we go back over it, and we go back over it, and we go back over it. Now, I know that we got some great people here. I know that. I remember the vision I had about the great big horses that got around me, protecting me. So I know we got some big fellas here, you know, in God. I know that. Women and men alike. But the thing is, I want to get this over to you concerning what really took place. If it was closed in the days of Daniel, then we understand that Daniel couldn't make it known. But if after Calvary, John had the revelation of it, then that means that it isn't closed anymore. God, he wants us to know. How do we believe God wants us to know? God wants us to know. God wants us to understand. I still contend. People say, but Brother Pye, there's some things God don't want you to know. That's not true. The Bible said we have an unction from God or the Holy One that we should know all things. And Jesus said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. God wants us to know it every bit of it. And I want to know every bit of it, don't you? All right. Now, we can go by hearsays, we can go by grandma's fables, or we can go by the Word of God. If this is a three-dimensional projecting here, and if we have the same setting as when Brother Taylor drawed it, and we can go by this, this is Jesus up here in the drawing, and here appearing in Revelation with the stars in his hand, the messengers of the church age. Now, we see that here, but now when we consider this, a three-dimensional projecting, always remember, the trouble is in the middle rim. Now, ladies, don't start throwing rocks at me, so to speak. But all the problem of the home as a rule is not with the children, nor with the daddy, it's with the mother. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, how in the world could that ever be? All right, now, the trouble in the home is with the mother. Okay, now let's look at it and see. Somebody say, no, it can't be. All right, if there's no mother, there's no children. If there's no children, there's no home. Where's the trouble? Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. You see, the trouble is in the home. Not to belittle the mother. Not to tear down the mother. That's not what it is. Sometimes the mother does better than the daddy. But God has so let us know that it is not heaven that's causing the problems. That's not the problem. That's not where it's at. It's not the earth that's causing the problem. God made the earth to be inhabited. He so loved the earth that he gave his only begotten son to redeem it. It's not heaven giving the trouble, nor it's not the earth that's giving the trouble. There's only one thing left. If it's not the natural giving it, if it's not the spiritual giving it, then who's giving it? It's the woman. It's the flesh. Is that right? It's that fleshly part. That fleshly part, remember, in the sight of God, men and women alike are just fleshly receptacles for the Spirit, which is the woman. That's where the problem is. The woman and her children's causing the problems. All right, now, if we know this, then we realize that something has to be done. What is God going to do? There's only one thing that can be done. If Eve, if she is the cause of all the sickness, all of the sorrow, all of the trouble, if we know that she is the cause of it, then something has to be done. We know that she has fallen from grace. We know that when we look at the picture of the book of Genesis. Yes, she is a beautiful woman, a righteous woman, a great and mighty woman. Never been another like her. Never. The perfect woman. But see, without her head, she lost her perfection. She took on imperfection without her head. Isn't that right? When she drifted, when she got away from that great perfection of God, when she left the order. Now listen, children of God. God has an order in the earth. That order is headship, and that headship comes down through different offices, and every person has to be subject one to another, or they don't draw the benefits of God. Is that right? Be subject one to another, the Bible tells us. In that you did it to the least of these, you was under subjection to God. Don't try to subject everybody to you. That's Nicolaitan. But you subject yourself to everybody. That is the Christian body of Christ. Thus you become an example to the flock. And we're not lord over God's heritage, but an example unto the flock. And everybody is happy because I'm subject to Brother Taylor, and Brother Taylor is subject to me, and we're subject to Brother Lyman, and Brother Lyman's subject to us, and we're happy. We're happy. A happy group of people. And thus the Lord can speak through the Holy Spirit. The great power of God come down. The voice of God come down. For God hath in time past, at sundry times and divers manners, God has spake unto the prophets, or spake unto the people through the prophets. But he hath in this last day not chosen to speak to us through a prophet, but he hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son Jesus Christ, who is the Son, you and I and others, the membership of the body of the gifts that's working in the church. It's God speaking through you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not the pastor speaking, but it's the voice of God. We've got in the church a fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and I believe in all of them. And God still speaks through them, but he hasn't chosen them to speak to the church through. The Bible said if one is speaking, let the other hold his peace. And ye may all speak one by one. See, it may be a gift of interpretation. It may be a gift of tongues. It may be a gift of prophesying. You can prophesy and not be a prophet. Just because you prophesy, that don't mean you are a prophet. It may be the gift of prophecy. It may be in your life. And then it may just come one time in your life because it's in the church. It may never come again. It might just be the certain inspiration for it at that hour. The gifts of the Spirit, God speaking to the church. Not only the fivefold ministry, but the Bible said God is setting the church helps and governments. We've got singers, we've got workers, we've got all kind of people, everybody helping to carry the church. Isn't that right? God said, Bezalel, I placed a skill in your heart, make the Ark of the Covenant. And I have placed a skill over here in your heart. You sow me the purple and the silver and whatever I need for the tabernacle. Everybody, God giving to them talents to help us carry this great gospel. The Lord gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. So then we see that God has chosen to speak unto us by his Son Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. And what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? God speaking unto us by his Son. For we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then today we see what a great, great thing it is. See, a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood, kings and priests to our God. So then we look at it and we realize that God has set up a great thing. But he has an order. He has a system. He has measures. According to your own faith, God has dealt it to you. Or your several ability. When we look at this, we see the three-dimensional projecting of it. We know then that the trouble is in the middle rim. We know that. See, Adam didn't cause the trouble. For the Bible said the man was not found in the transgression. Isn't that right? All right. So we say, well, who caused the trouble, Brother Pike? See, it was the woman that caused the trouble. She was the one that gave place to it. Now, if the flesh is the guilty one, if the flesh is the guilty party, then we need to do something about the flesh. Now, somebody would say, well, I've got a suggestion. Like the boy over in Central America picked him up, bringing him back. We kept talking about the devil causing trouble, and he wasn't spiritual. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't know too much about the devil. He said, why not? Let's just get together and kill the devil and stop the trouble. So then there's something to do. What is that? Kill the flesh. Kill the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body. Do away with it. Fast, pray, sacrifice. Swear to your own hurt. Do away with those things. Get rid of the trouble. See, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. He got into Eve's body. He's the guilty party. He got into Eve's body. Is that right? Sure, he got into Eve's body. Then why did Adam have to take the punishment if Adam wasn't guilty? Because he was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Isn't that right? The Bible tells us that she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I show you a great mystery, Paul said. They shall no longer be twain, but a man and his wife shall be one flesh. Is that right? This is a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. So then why did Jesus come down here and die? There wasn't anything left for him to do. Why? Because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Come on now. I said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You had to come down here and die. There was no way to get around it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why couldn't this part of the flesh die? Because that part was the headship. That was the part that knew what he was doing when he created and put us in the world. That's the part that had to answer. The headship of it had to answer. You can't blame me with it. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Now, you know that the woman's to blame, but let's look at it like this. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Is that right? Why was Jesus made sin? God is the one that created me. The Bible said the creature is in this world. He is down here. God put him here. And said he has been subjected to vanity, not by his own reasoning, not by his own desire. I didn't get here because I asked to come. But by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. That is, put Christ, the hope of glory, within me. Is that right? Did not take hope away from me. All right. So then we see something taking place here. There are these three dimensions. What are we going to do about it? Here's the trouble right here. Now, this we understand because it's the middle wall of petition. We brought it out a number of times in the days of Daniel. How that the prayers of Daniel from here got up to here. And before they could get up to here, remember, Paul said the third heaven. I was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that was not lawful for me to speak. So then from here to here to here, all the way up, you follow me? Here was the trouble. The Bible said concerning Daniel, the angel come over and said, Daniel, said the first day you started praying, said, brother, the first day when you lifted your head to heaven, we heard you. The very moment that you started praying, said, we heard you. When you started fasting and praying, but said, Daniel, we couldn't get to you. We come rushing down from up here to try to get to you down here. Said, and when we did, a whole legion of angels, so to speak, intercepted us over here. And said, they come out against us. Just like I start from here to Monroe, you start over to your loved ones. And all of a sudden, a terrible tornado, a storm sweeps in between you and them. And said, just about the time we was leaving, your prayers were leaving down here, coming up here. Before they could get up here, said, they were intercepted. You understand? Look at Cornelius. Cornelius prayed till it become a memorial before God. He said it come up in the sight of God. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They sinned so wickedly. The Bible said it has come up in the very eyes of God. I'll go down and see what it's all about. Here it was. From this place, there came the intercepting. And all of a sudden, these angels swept out. But God did not leave the prayer unanswered. Hallelujah. If we'll pray, if we'll have perseverance in God, if we'll hold on, beloved friend, God will answer that prayer. If I pray to God and I refuse to give up, Satan's got to give up. If I refuse to take no for an answer, Satan's got to give up. Jacob hang on to that angel, and that angel said, let me go, the day is coming. Jacob said, no, till you bless me, till you bless me. Said, when you bless me, then I'll let you go. And he said, what's your name? And he began to give him the right kind of name. You'll be a prince from now on. Why? Because you prevailed with God. I'm a prince. Hallelujah, I'm a prince. Somebody was saying, wait a minute, Brother Pike, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but soberly, I'm thinking soberly according to the measure of faith. Jesus died at Calvary. He held on. He prevailed and said, be strong in the power of my might. And as he is, so are we in him. And he made me a king and made me a prince to my God. I prevail through Christ his prayers. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. I don't pray for the world, but Jesus said, I pray for these, Father, these that you've given me. All right? So then we see the situation. Here is the intercepting here. Hold on. Don't quit. Hold on. Don't quit. I tried to get this over to somebody yesterday. Look, let me say this right quick, just as dropping into the thought here. Don't quit. Hold on. Look at it like this. Think of it like this. God can't lie. God's word can't be altered. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has given us a promise. It can't be changed. God said it. The Bible said his word's forever settled in heaven. Never to be changed and altered. And the Bible said God will hasten to perform his word. Hold on. Think of it like this. Say, my God, with Christ there is no changing. With God there's no imperfection. With God there's no alteration. You said it in your word, God. So the only thing that can keep me from having it is the fact that I don't accept it by faith in my heart. And dear God, if that's the cause, then it's mine, because from here on out, I'm accepting it, God. If that's the only thing. You know, the devil, he'll harass your mind. He'll say you're not good enough. You didn't pray long enough. You haven't fasted enough days. You hear what I'm saying? He'll say, there's a problem between you and God. There's something going on. Someday God's going to do it, but not right now. Won't he do that? Won't he talk you out of it? He'll say, now, there's somebody that's ordained to be like this, but not you. You understand what I'm saying? You know, to be an Elvis Presley, all you got to do is sell your soul. You ain't got to be ordained to do that. Just sell your soul. That's all he done. If you want to be a son of God, all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. Shall come to pass, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God giveth grace to all men. He don't reject any if they come to God. You understand what I'm saying? So then in your minds, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. You come there and say, now, wait a minute. All this talking, the Bible tells me not to lean to my own understanding. All of this talking, all of these things is being said to my mind. Well, that's got nothing to do with it. What's all these questions in my mind got to do with it? Why, there's hundreds and thousands and millions of questions. You never get around them. But see, you say, my God, what's that got to do with it? The word of the Lord is settled in heaven. The Bible said, by his stripes I'm healed. That settles it. All of his promises are yea and amen. God promised in his word to give me all things that pertain unto life. God promised in his word that I would ride upon the high places of the earth. God promised in his word he would feed me with the heritage of Jacob. God promised in his word that he'd provide for me and give me the desires of my heart if I delight myself in him. You understand what I'm saying, children of God? He promised to me, he has given to me the utmost of his promise. He has sealed it with his own blood. Why then should I worry? Who then shall I fear? I am persuaded, Paul said as he waxed bold in his statement concerning faith, that there is neither heights nor depths, things present or things to come. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Poverty can't do it. The devil can't do it. Somebody say amen. I said the devil can't separate me from the love of God. There's no way he can do it. I'm free from the devil. Somebody said, well, I wish I was free from him. All you got to do is resist him. He'll flee from you. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and flee from him. He said, get behind me, Satan. He's the shadow. Put him in his right place. Put him in his right place. Somebody said, Brother Bag, you don't believe he's going to listen to that. If you don't listen to it, it's because you don't believe it. Because the Bible said, if you say it, it happened. Why question? If God said it happened, why not accept it as a stated fact and just say, okay, get behind me. That takes care of it and go on your way. Now, somebody, I've seen the evangelists, they'll grab somebody and wrestle and they'll struggle. They'll wrestle and they'll say, I wrestled with the devil for a whole hour before I got the devil out. I don't remember Jesus ever doing that. I don't see where God ever did that. You might have to wrestle with the devil before he comes out. But if you speak the word of God and you speak the word of God in faith, the devil's coming out. There ain't going to be no wrestling and struggling and whatever. That's going to be it. He's going to come out. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, that's a lot of show, a lot of phony, a lot of something just to draw attention, just to make a big show out of it, to make it look like a big deal so it could catch the eyes of the flesh. Jesus didn't do it that way. Hallelujah. The Bible said his words were with authority, and he said, come out, and the devils came out. A lot of time crying and screaming with loud voices. All right. So then faith in God's word, whether it be to cast out a devil, whether it be for healing, whether it be for salvation, whatever it might be, we have to anchor in it. We have to stand steadfast and we have to put our feet down there and say, God, that's it. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. And that's the way it is. And then when we stand there and we don't move, remember, it isn't God that's going to change his mind and spring surprises. It isn't God that's going to alter. It isn't God that's going to change. No alterations, no change, just exactly the way you read it. That's the way it is. So the only reason you don't have it is because of you. So then why let it be you? Somebody said, well, I can't help it. Why come you can't help it? You can't help it because you acknowledge that you can't help it. Why not say I can help it? Somebody said, I want to, but I just can't. Yes, you can. I just can't do it. Somebody said, I'm just so frail, I'm so run down. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. To the weak, be strong in the power of my might. Confess the word of God. He's the high priest of our confession. Confess it. Go on your way, rejoicing. It'll happen. It'll happen. When you pray, believe that you receive it, you shall have it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Daniel held on. He held on. He wouldn't give up. All right, look at it right quick. We ain't going to hold but just a few more minutes now. All right, here it is. Here it is. Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Don't go to sleep now. Man. Satan's the prince of the powers of the air. Remember, that means the ruler over the powers that's in the air. He's the ruler over. All right, in between the prince of the powers of the air intercepted it. The ruler over those things. The one that caused the storms and problems and earthquakes and all these things. And I say again to you, somebody said, well, I question that. But the Bible said when Satan went down to the pit, all of the earth was at peace. He was the one that caused all the problems. Jesus rebuked him in the waves. He rebuked him in the storm. He stood steadfast saying, I'm the Prince of Peace. Wherever I walk, I'm the Prince of Peace. He told the lightning to stay back. He told the thunder to stop. He told the waves to stop. He run sickness off. He run confusion, frustration off, and stood there, and the winds became calm. He said, I'm the Prince of Peace. All right, now, so in between here and here and here, here they are. Now let's look at it for just a minute. Help Israel. With the tabernacle and the wandering of the wilderness, if that was the first heaven, though it was the second dimensional setting as far as the types, because the wilderness is the type, but nevertheless, if it is the first heaven, if the Jews and God being among the Jews, the Old Testament, God in the earth among his people, if that is the first heaven, if that is the outer courts, then that means that when we come over a little farther and we get over here to Calvary, then that means that on that side there is another heaven. And what is that heaven? The second heaven. Why is that the second heaven? If the law is the first heaven, then grace has to be the second heaven. Why do you say that? Because the woman was travailing, she was in heaven. The woman has to be the church. Though I know that's Israel, I understand that. But it has to be the church in the spiritual application. Now, if she's standing there in heaven, then where is she at? It's obvious that she's not in the third heaven. And you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? If she's in the third heaven, how is it the Bible said as quick as the child was born, Lucifer went out into the earth? Is that right? Where the first heaven was. Is that right? How is it that the child went up to the throne of God? There had to be another heaven. There had to be a third heaven. This woman was in the middle realm. The moon, the sun, the stars, in the middle realm, in the second heaven. The church world today, heavy with child, travailing in birth, waiting to be delivered, is in God's grace. It didn't say the woman went out of heaven. It said Lucifer went out of heaven. The woman was still there in grace, in the grace of God. Why? How did Lucifer go out of heaven? I tell you again, when the days of grace is over, the second heaven is gone. Lucifer finds himself out of the presence of God. The wicked can only be in heaven by the grace of God. And when the days of grace is over, they're going to find out they've been in heaven, eating and drinking and laughing and having a good time. And brother, when God casts them down to the pit and they look back, they'll say, we was in heaven. We was in his lovely presence. There in heaven, in that second heaven. But Lucifer went out. When Calvary came, that's what John saw. When John looked over there and John beheld Calvary, saw the revelation of Calvary, he wrote it. And then he saw that thing and he made the speech like he did. Now has come power, now has come strength. Where does that take up? It takes up at Calvary with you and I. The days were shortened for the elect's sake there. We don't have time to go into it, but that's where we come in. See, though it is the second heaven, when we come into to that, let's look at it again right quick now. You say, how do you know that that first heaven? I probably won't get to them this morning. But the thing is, friend, this third heaven is where the man-child goes to. You follow me? There is a natural Jew with a natural Jew head called Jesus. There is a spiritual Jew with a spiritual Jew head called Christ. Is that right? Now, when that natural Jew head returns yonder in the rapture, that head is returning to Israel. For the Bible said they shall narrowly look upon him. Is that right? All eyes shall behold him. And when he comes back and they say, where did you get the nails? He said, in the house of my friends. But beloved friend, long before Thessalonians changed, there is somebody else that said, I go away, but I come again. Is that right? And said, the world shall not see me, but ye shall see me. Is that right? That's why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, lest my servants should fight. How is it that Jesus is coming back, setting up a kingdom in this world, when he said, my kingdom is not of this world? See, that was Christ. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? How many of you believe that that kingdom is going to be on this natural earth right here? Absolutely be on it. When Jesus comes to sit on that throne out there, it's going to be Georgia earth and Alabama earth and Germany earth. It's going to be on this earth. The Bible doesn't say that's the new earth. It's the restored earth. It's the restoration of the garden. Adam and them being made out of the dust. It was the garden, the paradise. But friend, after that 1,000 years, then John said, I saw the new earth. I saw a new heaven. I saw new Jerusalem then coming down on the new earth. But see, there's a difference. There's a difference. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's a difference. We're going to close. Just hold on now. Don't be restless. We're going to close. All right. I know you can't feed people no more and they'll spit it back out if you do. It's like a baby. He'll bubble in it. But hold on for just a few minutes. There's some grown-ups that want another bite or two. All right, now. Here's the thing. See, up here, the man-child went up. Where did he go to? He went to the mind of Christ. That's where he went to. Because a mind is a spirit. And a spirit is a life. And a life is a dimension. And he went into the spirit of God. He went into the mind of God. He went into the revelation of Christ, the third heaven. The law, the New Testament, and the book of Revelation. Is that right? The law for the Jews, the New Testament for the age of grace, for the Gentiles to give allowance. And then the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ for the child caught up to the throne. Come up hither, John. Is that right? And a door was open in heaven at Calvary. Is that right? All right. So then we see that we bypass the tribulation, as we said so many times, Noah rode over it in the ark. If it's picked up at Pentecost or at Calvary, then those that are in the Spirit of God will ride over the dark age, ride over the troubles, ride over the tribulation period. Those that are raptured, ride over the tribulation period. If the man child is caught up to the throne from here, the second heaven, when he's caught up to the throne, where does he go? He goes right on over the tribulation period to sit down in the throne on this earth right here. Is that right? He goes over the tribulation period to sit down in the throne of David in the millennium, because that's the throne he's caught up to. He is caught up to God's throne. He rides over the tribulation period. He sits right down in the throne of David in the millennium to rule with a rod of iron. So then, instead of going up there, the Bible said New Jerusalem is coming down here. I beheld New Jerusalem as a bride adorned for a husband. She was descending out of heaven, coming down to sit down on the new earth. Is that right? All right, so then what we need to understand is that God is coming to us. You didn't seek me. He said, I sought you. Somebody said, I really sought God. You can't find that in the Bible. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's coming to us. We couldn't get to him. There ain't no way I could get to God. He said, but the Bible said, draw nigh to God. I do that through the blood of Jesus Christ that made us nigh by this blood, the Bible said, by faith. There ain't no way I can get to God. God has to come to me. That's why God come down in Jesus, a human body. He had to come down as my near kinsman. He had to get in a human body. He had to get in flesh and blood. He had to come down to my level. That's the only way I could understand God. That's the only way I could fellowship God. Other than that, I'm cut off from God. I have no fellowship with God otherwise. All right. You love Jesus? All right, there's a few more things I want to say, but I think I'm going to close. Some of you already went home anyway, so might as well let the rest of them go. A few more things that I felt like I really needed to say this morning. But when you go home to the table, there ain't no need to do nothing, because the Bible said God put the serpent on his belly, and when he gets hungry, he's going to crawling. Hallelujah. I say, Brother Pike, you don't believe the serpent is here, do you? I certainly do. The Bible said that the dragon was right there in that heaven waiting for that child. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the sons of Satan came also. Every one of them gives an account. Every person that's sitting in my congregation that's carnally minded is a seed of the devil. It's the enemy of God. To be carnally minded is death. You got to get over Jordan. You love Jesus? No reasoning. Don't lean to your own understanding. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Water in the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. All right. There's one thing for sure. Satan, right at this time, there's something taking place. Satan is being cast out. Now I'd love to went into that a little further this morning to show you just a few more things that perhaps you already know, perhaps you don't. But to them that didn't know, I would like to have went a little further and brought it out to where they could have understood what we were saying. But remember this, friend. There is something that is taking place. The church world that's always looking and looking and looking and talking about something that's going to happen. They are a wicked, adulterous generation that's looking for a sign. And when they see a big shout and a sign, they say, glory to God, it's here, it's here. The multitudes are increasing. There's nothing to it. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. There is a translation from glory to glory that's taking place through the mind and the knowledge and revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And two in the bed, one taken and one left, two in the field, one taken and one left, is happening. Remember this. While this thing is taking place, I am looking at it. Not only here in preaching it to you from the Word, but I'm actually seeing it take place. Like the vision where I saw it take place in heaven, I stood there and watched it take place in heaven and called to the people. And when I called to the people did not see it. They could not see it. But I saw it and I watched it take place. And it's taking place. Everything that's happening, something is taking place. And so many multiplied things I see of human beings, different things. Brother John and Sister C being down here from up yonder, the sister there from Sister C, being down here at this time, and everything happening the way that it's happening now, many multiplied things in just the last few weeks I've seen take place. Great things. And believe it or not, things that has to do with the very thing I'm talking about right here that has gotten that far along. The cycle has moving around until it's gotten that far along. So then it is so lovely and it is so beautiful. All right, appreciate your kind attention. And I hope I haven't abused you in the things that I've said in the sense of
of scolding you, because when I speak about the seed of the serpent, I'm speaking about the seed of the serpent. When I speak about the seed of the woman, I'm speaking about the seed of the woman, the church. So I know that there is both among us. Out of a revival comes twins. And they're both there. Maybe one night we'll attempt to explain the difference between them. We have on some occasions. But it is something, brethren. Hold fast. There's an Esau and a Jacob. Both of them look close. They look so much alike. It would deceive the very elect if possible. You say, what is the difference, Brother Pine? Only one thing. Only one thing. You say, well, surely there must be a little bit of difference. They'll get off a little bit in the Word. Or they'll get it off a little bit over here. If you look for that, you ain't going to see it. Satan quoted the Word. You can say, stay with the Word all you want to. But Satan quoted the Word right down to the jot and to the tittle to Jesus. See, that isn't the difference. That isn't the difference. You say, what is the difference? It's not by power or might, but by my Spirit. One of them will be an intellectual dead life of the letter. The other will be the quickening of the Spirit. That will be the difference. That will be the only difference. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. It'll be the difference between an intellectual word and a spiritual word of life. To know this word and not to have the quickening of the Spirit in your heart is to be brought into the judgment, be condemned at the judgment, and be cut off into an eternal loss. To obey this word is to have life everlasting. It's like the judge, when the judge stands at the great, or sits at the great judgment seat, that letter, to obey it, to honor it, to reverence it, is to receive the protection and benefit of the law. It's life and protection. To disobey it, to cut across it, is to come into his judgment and to find condemnation and everlasting separation. Judgment begins at the house of God. You believe that? All right, let's stand together. Don't forget the service tonight. We're having service tonight. Brother John will be ministering tonight. The evangelistic service. Come out and be with us. Come out and pray. And let's work together and believe God. And ask the Lord to help us. We're all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. The Bible said, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such one. And the Bible tells us to do it, that it's our duty to do it, and do it in the spirit of meekness. Be meek about it, considering yourself, lest you be tempted also. If you go to a brother and that brother's overtaken in a fault and you lambast him and you jump out there and you try to show him who you are and what you've got and whatever, first news you know, the devil's got the hook in your nose. And there you are. You're a boaster and you're a problem yourself. You can't straighten him out. See, you got to get the beam out of your own eye. Then shall you see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. So then, if we go to our brother and we tell him like it is, don't compromise, but in the love of God, he'll receive it because he's a brother. And if it's otherwise, the Bible said, rebuke before all that others might see and fear. For open rebuke is better than secret love. But it's your responsibility and my responsibility because we are our brother's keeper. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sang the little chorus, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And why on others thou art calling? Oh, do not pass. me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me. Can you sing it again? Your hands and sing it just one more time. Oh, Savior.